You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs with you today as we wrap up this ugly Thursday in Cleveland. And we are happy to be joined by Jim Wyatt from the Tennessean beat writer of the Tennessee Titans. Jim, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Awesome. We are doing well. Wish the weather was a little bit better here. I don't know how it is down in Tennessee.
It's steamy down here. We've had a lot of rain of late, but the rain's out of here. We've just got a lot of humidity, and I'm not going to complain after the rain.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, Jim, my first question for you, of course, is centered around number two overall draft pick this year in 2015, Marcus Mariota. It's kind of going to be a two-parter. Is, first of all, talk about the hang-ups of exactly why the contract's not done yet, and then secondly, what have you seen from Marcus Mariota thus far in OTAs and minicamp?
Well, the contract's going to get done. I mean, there's been a lot of talk and about that, and it's not like this guy's not going to get signed. I mean, he wants to be here. The team wants him to be here. They're haggling. You know, they're arguing over the only thing you can really argue over, and that's the offset language in the contract and whether it's going to be in there. Jameis Winston has it in his. Fowler, who was picked behind Mariota, does not have it in his. And what that is, for people who are not familiar with offset language, is that if you have the offset language in your contract, if the team puts it in there, you're not able to, what's called double dip. You're not able to get paid but by another team. If you're released by you're not able to get paid by the Titans and another team in the event you're released, odds are Marcus Mariota is not going to be released. So they're really arguing over a non-issue, and he'll be signed before camp begins. I think in plenty of time before camp begins. So people shouldn't worry about that. And I think what they've seen, the Titans have seen from Mariota so far, they have to be pleased with. I mean, I'm trying not to get people's hopes up too much, because you have to realize that the guy's practicing in a helmet and shorts,
right,
and not shoulder pads. He doesn't have pressure and doesn't have the threat of somebody sacking him or getting in his face. So he should be looking good right now. But with all that said, he's done everything they've asked him to do. He's been sharp. He's got a strong arm than I thought he would be. He's picked up the offense quicker than I thought he would. He's shown a lot of poise. His teammates like him. He's a hard-working kid. He's on track, I'll say that, but I'm not about to say that he's destined for greatness at this point, even though he has looked good.
Talking today with Jim Wyatt from the Tennessean, the beat writer for the Titans. Great beat writer. You can give him a follow on Twitter. He's fantastic and some great info. Marcus Mariota, obviously, just a part of that Titans offense. What are some of the big storylines, Jim, that you're following as we get ready for training camp here?
Well, I think one of the bigger ones, I guess, maybe who are the guys that are going to help make life easier for Marcus Mariota, and that whether that's the running game, whether that's receivers, whether that's the defense that's going to keep the scoring down the other side. I think so. Those are some of the big storylines. Obviously, when training camp opens on July 31st, all eyes are going to be on Mariota, but you can be sure that people are going to be keeping an eye on Doyle Green Beckham, their second round pick, who just physically very impressive, 6'5", 237. I think he's going to be a nightmare for defenses to try to cover. And I think he's going to be an immediate playmaker in the red zone. But he's missed a good chunk of this offseason with a hamstring injury. They've got to get him healthy and get him up to speed. He's a guy to keep an eye on. The running game certainly was underwhelming last year with Bishop Sankey. They addressed that position some in the draft, so they should have more of a punch there. If the running game is better, that takes pressure off of Mariota. The offensive line, suffered all kinds of injuries last year. They've got to settle down, play a lot better. I mean, this is a team that went from Jake Locker to Charlie Whitehurst to Mettenberger, back to Locker, then back to Whitehurst. I mean, it was a disaster, and part of that's because the offensive line was so banged up. So those are the things to watch on offense. Defensively, Dick LeBeau's presence certainly gives the team a little bit of a swagger, gives the team more of a personality, gives the team a little bit more at least gives he comes with a little bit more moxie, and guys, I think, are confident in what he's teaching. His big prize to work with is Brian Arakpo, who they signed from the Redskins this offseason. He has a chance to change the look of the defense as far as a pass rush standpoint.
Jim, I know that once Marcus Mariota was drafted, that Zach Mettenberger took to Twitter, I believe, and talked about wanting to be traded. Do you think that you know, his animosity will hinder the growth of Marcus Mariota being in that quarterback room, or is it going to be something that they're going to work together and just knowing that Zach's got to be ready just in case Marcus Mariota's not the guy or any type of early failure in the season?
Well, I do think, but I have to say I've been impressed with how Mettenberger's handled himself. I know there was some stuff draft weekend that was out there about him wanting to be traded. It didn't come from his Twitter account. It didn't come from Mettenberger, to be honest with you. During the draft, when Mariota was drafted, some people who were acting on behalf of Zach Mettenberger in frustration kind of sounded off to the Titans front office about, hey, you know, we want to get Zach out of there. That wasn't Zach talking. That was some other people talking. And as a result of that, it kind of put Zach in a bad light. He has since come out and said he plans on fighting for this job. Is he happy about it? No. I mean, I do firmly believe that Mettenberger felt like when the season ended last year that he'd be this team's starting quarterback going into the season, but it didn't work out that way. They fell in love with Mariota. Mettenberger says he's competing for the starting job. In reality, he's going to be the backup. There's no competition for this job. And Marcus Mariota was picked to be this team's starting quarterback, so Mettenberger has to be ready in the event Mariota gets hurt. And let's face it, you know, I just went through the list of I went through the quarterback carousel just a minute ago from last year. I mean, there's a good chance a quarterback who's going to be on the move like Mariota is going to get injured, and they're going to need Mettenberger. And I do think that he is in the right frame of mind now where when something happens to Mariota, and I'm assuming it's going to, it's hard for a quarterback to go through the season unscathed, especially one who's going to get outside the pocket a little bit. So when Mettenberger's needed, I do think he's going to be ready to do the job. And he certainly hasn't spent the offseason sulking about it.
Jim, what about another rookie that obviously isn't getting as many headlines as Marcus Mariota, but a guy that I know I've watched and was impressed with and a guy that fell to them, Doriel Green Beckham. What have you seen from him so far?
Well, it's been, I think he's going to be good. I mean, I certainly like the looks of him. Just spending some time around him, you know, in May and June, you know, I've got a different opinion of him now than maybe I did of him when he first arrived here. He came in here with a lot of baggage. You know, he had some found trouble in Missouri, you know, left the program there, ended up in Oklahoma, didn't play last year, but he did manage to stay out of trouble. And he shows up here. I mean, I've been around some guys who were bad apples. I don't necessarily have to mention names, but some guys who gave this team trouble. And just early impressions of Doriel Green Beckham, I get the sense that he, you know, he's matured, he's grown up, he's learned from his mistake. I don't think he's going to be a troublemaker here, and that was the biggest question about him leading up to the draft. So they could have gotten a steal in him. Time will tell this offseason. He's dealt with a hamstring injury. He hasn't practiced a whole lot, really hasn't been able to get up to speed. I think when camp starts, you know, he expects to be healthy. You know, they expect him to be healthy, and if he stays healthy, if he's up to speed with the playbook, he's got a chance to really make an impact for them this year. I'm not expecting him to catch 50, 60 balls, but I think he, you know, with his size, I think he's a guy that could definitely score, you know, half dozen touchdowns this year, just out fighting people in the red zone.
Jim, when you look at the AFC South as a whole, is the mentality by the other teams beyond the Indianapolis Colts is kind of like a fight for second place? And in building a team, as it seems like you guys have done, you know, Kendall Wright, Hakeem Nicks, Harry Douglas, Justin Hunter, you talked about Sankey, you drafted Cobb, you've got McCluster from who's going to play a specialty role in offense out of Kansas City. Is it you need to create a team to outscore the Indianapolis Colts, or do you need to create a team, as you mentioned with Dick LeBeau, that can slow down the Indianapolis Colts to compete for that division?
Well, I think it's a combination of two. I mean, obviously, defense has got to get better. I mean, last year they were They lost 9 out of 16 games by 2 touchdowns or more, and they weren't even competitive. And a lot of that's because the defense just, caved early. The offense has got to be more productive, got to score more points. And I think with some of the additions you just mentioned, I think that'll help. Mariota should help the offense. But I think it's I think their mindset is they've got to be more, formidable presence on offense. At the same time, they've got to help the offense by, playing good D and creating turnovers and getting off the field and not having this team play catch up. So I think they have to improve on both sides of the ball. I think, you mentioned AFC South. I mean, I think the Titans feel like even after a 2-14 season, that they they can be, they've continued to say that they've seen teams make a big leap and become contenders in the division in a short amount of time. So I think they can be competing with the Colts for the upper echelon, for the top half of the division. Realistically, I mean, if you're asking me, I think this division still belongs to the Colts. I think the Texans are number two. I think the Titans and Jaguars are fighting to stay out of cellar. And I think both those teams will be better this year, but I don't think either one of them at this point is ready to jump up and knock off the Colts and Texans.
Jim, what about Ken Whisenhunt? 1 year down, is he on the hot seat here in year two? He brought in Dick LeBeau to be an assistant head coach and work with the defense. And obviously we know all about Ray Horton here. He's the defensive coordinator, but LeBeau going to kind of head things up. What's the temperature on Ken Whisenhunt here in year two?
Well, I mean, he signed a 5-year deal that was worth about $25 million. And there was some talk after 2-14 last year that, whether he'd be on the hot seat. And I can't see that. And I couldn't see that in any fashion. I mean, they're going to give him time. I mean, it's not Ken Whisenhunt's fault that, that he went through all those quarterbacks and had such a poor roster to work with last year. So, from that regard, and I'm not going to put it all on him, but, with that said, I mean, I mentioned that they weren't competitive in more than half the games last year. And when you make a coaching change like they did, I mean, they had such stability with Jeff Fisher, then they go to Mike Munchak, and then when they brought Whisenhunt in here, people expected better. And to go to 2-14 and to not even be a team worth watching most Sundays, certainly it raised some eyebrows and gave them a little bit more sense of urgency. But, I firmly believe that by picking Mariota, it probably helps, probably give them a little bit more time. I mean, I think they're going to have patience with Mariota. I think ownership here and the people making decisions here, they can't expect Mariota to come in and just completely change things around as a rookie. So what fans need to expect and maybe what ownership needs to expect and hope for is that this team will be more competitive week in and week out, that Mariota will get better as the season goes on, that this team will show that it's making strides and moving in the right direction. And I think as long as they do that, Ken Whisenhunt can survive a 6-10, 7-9 season and not worry about losing his job at the end of it. Now, if they finish 3-13 or 2-14 and they're blown out again like they were last year so many Sundays, and certainly there's going to be some questions.
Jim, thank you so much for taking the time. Appreciate your insight, and we will see you week two of the upcoming season.
Okay, sounds good. Have a good one.
You too. That was Jim Wyatt, the Tennessean beat writer for the Tennessee Titans, previewing our week two opponent of the Tennessee Titans. We're going to take a timeout. Show is almost over, but we'll come back and share some more thoughts with you about our upcoming season. 216-578-0850 to get your last-minute comment in or tweet at the show at Browns_Daily. Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you